Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here today. We have got a very big show. TD Power Hour, 3 o'clock. Teron will be here. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they get set for the Dolphins. Jared versus Joe is today. And this is our last show of the year. So 2021 in the books. A lot has happened. Obviously, we started off the year on a very sad note for us internally that you would later learn about externally as far as Floyd was concerned. But we did pick up Caroline along the way, who we're very glad to have.
Happy to be here.
So we are super glad to have you as we rock and roll into the new year. We'll have the Music City Bowl tomorrow, and then we'll have the college football playoff on Friday. So this is our last show of the year. We should have gotten some party favors and, you know,
those 2022 glasses, which I'm shocked that every year they find a way to make a year into glasses. But, I mean, they do it every year.
They find a way. So I want to start the show on this. When you love something in life, like you really love it, you don't really have to tell people that you love it. If you're a gardener and all you do every weekend, every second that you have free is get out to the garden, most people in your life know, oh, he loves his gardening. So John Madden passes away yesterday. And when I found out the news, I don't know about all of you, but I was absolutely devastated. I watched the All Madden documentary on Saturday. I loved every second of it and honestly wished it was longer. It was an hour-long documentary. It should have been like 3 hours. It should have been 4 hours because that's how big John Madden was to the NFL. But my favorite thing about John Madden was that you never questioned if he loved football. You never questioned. You never had to ask yourself, does John Madden love calling a Dallas-Green Bay game at 3:30 on a Sunday? You know the answer to that. And as we sit here in a society, in a world, where all we do is complain about things we don't like, and we're all guilty of it. We complain about people we don't like. We spend time doing things we don't want to do. Or we spend time sacrificing valuable real estate in our lives for people that we don't care about much. I think about John Madden and the fact that you knew when John Madden was in that booth on a Sunday with Pat Summerall, that's where he wanted to be. You never have to ask yourself, did John love the game? You never had to ask yourself, did John love working with Pat? You never had to ask yourself, did John love Brett Favre? Did John love the hitting and the booms and the whap and everything else about football? You never had to ask yourself that because it was genuine. And all of that went through the TV to all of us. I looked at yesterday on Twitter and I looked through every single famous football player and almost everybody had a reaction and a statement to the passing of John Madden. Every network, CBS Sports, their chair had a statement because that's where Madden got his start with Pat Summerall. Fox Sports CEO Eric Shanks had a statement because that's where Madden and Summerall went in 1994 in order to launch NFL on Fox. ESPN's president had a statement because that's where Madden ended up going after the run with Summerall was over to Monday Night Football on ABC. And Al Michaels released a statement through NBC Sports. All four networks, which he called Super Bowls for. And you've already heard by now, he's the only person to ever do that. You've heard all the statements. Jerry Jones saying that there's nobody who ever loved football more or who ever meant more to football. But that's not really what I think of when I think of John Madden and why I felt like I was so hurt last night hearing the news about John Madden. I was hurt because John Madden represents everything that is good about what you love in your life. A lot of you love football, but it's more than that. The thing about John Madden was when he sat in that booth and he sat next to Pat Summerall and James Brown would bring him in and it was a big game and you know the feeling, you know the smell, you know the sound, you know it all. What John Madden loved about football was the fact that it was all about competition at the highest level. It was about guys giving it their all. It was about players sacrificing for their team. It was about the big guys making the block, the big guy making a throw, the big guy making a catch, and, of course, the big guy making a tackle. Everything else was just all window dressing. Right now, we live in a society where people work jobs, but this is kind of what they do. It's like, yes, I work in pharmaceutical sales, but I don't really love it, and I make an okay wage, and I just... But you don't want to be around that. You want to be around people that every single day, everything they do is for the love of what they're doing. That was John Madden. He just loved everything about the game that was pure. He loved a big hit. He loved a big game on the line, playoffs late. And you knew it. You didn't have to ask with John Madden. It's a big one. It's Dallas. It's San Francisco. It's Aikman. It's Steve Young. You didn't have to ask if John Madden wanted to be there. You knew. And I think that that's why a lot of us love football. In life, we talk about guys that are great. Kids today, you get on Twitter, whatever. They this one's the GOAT. That one's the GOAT. This one's the... Calm down with all of that. Sometimes we overuse words. Perhaps I'm part of that problem. But John Madden was truly transcendent. When you think about the great players in sports, there's only a handful of them that will live on forever and ever and ever. Muhammad Ali will live on for forever. Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Tom Brady. I'm not here to knock anybody else, but there are great players that are going to end up in the Hall of Fame, but ultimately people will forget about them. That's not the case with John Madden. Your father knows John Madden. Your grandfather knows John Madden. Your great-grandfather knew John Madden. Your kids will play the John Madden video game. This will continue on for years and years and generations and generations. John Madden was a giant. He was every bit as impactful on his sport as some of the greats are on their sports. And the most important thing about John Madden, and it's something that we should all realize, is just because you didn't know him personally doesn't mean that you didn't have a relationship with John Madden. That's the one thing that I watched last night on NFL Network when they were reacting to the news before they put a John Madden documentary on, was every single person on the set had some relationship with John Madden. But they almost had to couch it with, I didn't know John very well, or I didn't know John. And I thought to myself, honestly, I don't need to hear from all the people who knew John Madden. We heard that in the documentary, and they'll bring people on. But I know how the people who knew John Madden felt, because I felt like I knew John Madden. I had a relationship with John Madden. I had never met the man in my entire life. Crazy to say this, but I knew who John Madden was before I even started watching football. Because I used to watch a lot of baseball as a kid, and his, boom, Tough Actin, Tenactin commercials for Athlete's Foot were on all the time. I started playing Madden football video games when I really got into football after that first year with the Titans in 99. I bought Madden 2001 because Eddie George was on the cover. John Madden called so many big games, so many big moments over the years, but he truly was transcendent, and we truly all felt like we knew John Madden. If you watched the All Madden documentary and you heard guys like Lawrence Taylor or Bill Belichick or Troy Aikman or Joe Buck or Tom Brady, you heard them talk about John Madden, Peter King, Roger Goodell, Al Michaels. Everything that they said about John, you kind of felt like you knew yourself. Because everybody did know John Madden. Because he was authentic. And that's who he was. And so, while it's crazy to think like, I didn't really know John Madden, the answer is you did. You loved football. He loved football, and he helped garner your love for this sport. We love football here. John Madden, by my count, did a handful of Titans games over the years. Number one, Madden was always on either CBS when they had the NFC package before the Titans even existed, and then he went to Fox, who always had the NFC package, and honestly, the Titans didn't end up on Monday or Sunday Night Football too often. But when you knew that John Madden was calling a game, you not only knew that it was a big game, but there was something special about John Madden watching your team play and John Madden talking to the country about the things that he liked about your team. But I just keep thinking about our own individual relationships with John Madden. I was listening to Darren Donick and Chase today, and they were talking about how Darren had never interviewed John Madden. It doesn't matter. You knew John Madden. Listen to Peyton Manning, who actually did have a relationship with John Madden. This was in the early part of his retirement press conference after they had won the Super Bowl in Denver. And again, think about the generational ability that John Madden will have for forever to transcend through grandparents, parents, kids, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you name it. This is what Peyton Manning said when he retired.
Beginning of my time in Indy, the team's struggles were agonizing. My grandfather would call me weekly to ask if his favorite announcers, John Madden and Pat Summerall, would be broadcasting our game. Pawpaw, I'd say, we're only 2-8 right now. We're playing the 3-7 Bengals. Madden and Summerall don't broadcast those kinds of games. Fast forward to my second year when we had gotten things going a little bit. We were playing the Dallas Cowboys, including Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, and Deion Sanders. I called Pawpaw. Guess what? Madden and Summerall are broadcasting the game. He said, I can't believe it.
Can you imagine running to the phone? Peyton Manning, guy who's been famous his entire adult life, running to the phone to tell his grandfather, hey, I know I got to get back to get ready for this game, but Pawpaw, Madden and Summerall are calling the game. Because that's the relationship that he had with John Madden before he even knew John Madden. That was the relationship his family had with John Madden before he even knew John Madden. We all have a relationship like that with John Madden. There's not a lot of people that you can say that about. We all watched The Last Dance because we wanted to know what Michael Jordan was really like. But the truth with John Madden is the guy you saw on Sunday, sitting there, Pat Summerall on the telestrator, that's who he was. And that's why you love football so much, because he loved football so much. John never had to tell you that you had to love football. John just exuded that love every single day. And because it was on TV, you saw it, it drew all of us in. CBS lost the NFL package in 1994. Fox took it. They had the NFC package. The NFC package is more valuable than the AFC package because the NFC has bigger cities. Dallas, the Giants, Washington, Los Angeles. They got bigger cities. The AFC, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, Tennessee, Indianapolis. It's just not the same. So Madden goes to Fox. CBS realized this was one of the biggest mistakes they ever made getting out of the football business. So they went out as soon as NBC didn't pay for the AFC, and they bought it back. And what did CBS learn? Don't let John Madden get away. That's why they pay Tony Romo $17 million a year. Because he's the top game analyst, and they can't let him get away because they let John Madden get away. NBC lost the AFC package. For years, they wanted to get back into football. They wanted it so bad. Finally, they got back into football with Sunday Night Football. What's the first thing they did? They went out and got John Madden. Because John Madden was instant credibility for what you were trying to build. Rupert Murdoch, who runs Fox and owns Fox, said that in the All Madden documentary. John Madden knew football. He loved football. You never had to question that. And I think it's only fitting that in the last game that he and Pat Summerall ever did together, which was Super Bowl 36, Tom Brady's first one against the Rams, as the Patriots are moving down the field to set up the game-winning kick for Adam Vinatieri, John Madden, and you can listen to his voice, and he basically foreshadows how special Tom Brady was going to be.
This guy is really cool, though. I mean, I've been impressed watching Tom Brady on film and, you know, in television games and so on, but the way he's playing this game today, he has been very, very impressive with his calmness.
He might as well have just said to the national TV audience, this guy is going to be special. And of course, John Madden was right. So I don't know how everybody felt today because, again, we all had our own individual relationship with John Madden. But I know how I felt yesterday, and I was heartbroken when I heard of the loss of a true legend. One of the greatest broadcasters, if not the greatest broadcaster of all time. A great coach by all accounts in the Hall of Fame. And so I think it's okay to look back at your life and think about how John Madden meant to you, even if you didn't know him. Because you didn't need to know him to know what he was about. Everybody who does know him, we've heard, it's all the same things that you would think. Because that's who John Madden was. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will take your thoughts, your feelings, your reactions with your relationship with John Madden. 615-737-1025. I did, off the top of my head yesterday, I'll go ahead and tell a story. I texted Titans PR director Robbie Bourne, and I said, was the 2001 preseason game against the Rams, was that the first Madden and Summerall game that they did of the Titans? And he was like, I can't remember. They did a couple, whatever. And I go, because I know that Madden did 2002 against the Patriots, 2003 against the Jets. Those were Monday Nighters. 2004 against the Packers, 2004 against the Chiefs, and 2007 against the Colts on Sunday Night Football. And I'm like, I think those are the only Madden games that he did. And then I went back and looked it up, and I was actually right. And I was like, oh, my goodness. That's how big John Madden was? Then off the top of your head, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that game John Madden did. So we'll get your reaction. We'll get Caroline's thoughts as well. Again, it's not about what everybody says about John Madden. I didn't text anybody today, anybody at the radio station or anybody, say, oh, my God, we got to have this guy on today to talk about John Madden. I didn't feel like we needed to do that because I feel like we all knew John Madden. And as a broadcaster, let me tell you all something. I hope that you all feel the same way about me. Now, I don't mean, you know, feel the same way where I remind you of your childhood and your relationship with your grandparents. But I mean where you feel like you know me, just like we all know that we knew John Madden. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get those reactions. Plus, one fact about John Madden that is not a coincidence. We'll get to that coming up as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are rocking and rolling. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And as always, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Whoa, that was something. When I hear that stuff, it makes me realize that, but I didn't realize probably.
And for some reason, when you talk about the great quarterbacks in the league, you don't talk about Steve McNair, but he is one of them. And he is also a very tough guy. He has bad ribs. He has a bad toe. He hasn't practiced. He doesn't practice all week. Comes out here and plays the game. But not only does he play the game, he takes the whole offense on his shoulder. This is an amazing guy. But this is going to be a physical game. You know, that's what Jeff Fisher said last night. He said, we play physical, they play physical, and that's what this one's going to be all about. Talk about, you know, defense, number one against the run, number one against, you know, when you need good defense right now to win the game, to get in the playoffs, that's good defense. And that's what the Titans need right now.
There you go, John Madden talking Titans. Only did a handful of Titans games. Again, crazy to think about. That over the years, I mean, how many Cowboy games do you think John Madden did? Or how many Packer games do you think John Madden
Bears
did?
Bears games.
Oh, so I like if you put in John Madden, I would love to see like totals by team that John Madden called. I would guess number one Cowboys.
Probably so.
Number two, 49ers. Because remember, this was right there, like the Montana Young, you know, that is true. Kind of right in there. Three Packers.
For sure.
Always having to do the Packers. Then throw in all the other NFC East teams, because they play the Cowboys, right. And because at certain points Washington was good. The Giants with Lawrence Taylor, Phil Sims, they were good. The Eagles, Randall Cunningham, they were good. I'm trying to think. NFC. Then you can get to the Bears after that.
Fair.
And I think that is like the John Madden. Those are the teams that John Madden called the most over the years. But
Cowboys number one for sure. Like,
oh,
I saw
absolutely.
One clip that kept showing up on my Twitter. It was the clip of him making fun of Troy Aikman not being able to grow a beard.
Yes.
And he took the telestration and drew a beard on for him.
So one thing that I really think, like, I think John Madden can teach you a lot about life. Again, this is somebody that none of us that I know of really knew. You know, like, I don't think a lot of people that I knew John Madden. But we all knew John Madden. And one thing that when I think of Madden's career, I think, man, he must have just been in the right place at the right time, right? You listen to all these great Raider players that John Madden had back in the day, the 10 years that he coached there, all-time winningest coach, won a Super Bowl, they carried him off. But all the Hall of Fame players, whether it was Ken Stabler or Art Shell or Gene Upshaw or Dave Casper or Fred Biletnikoff, and it's like, man, he had a lot of great players there with the Raiders. He must have just been there at the right time. Well, how many more Super Bowls did Al Davis win for all those years? Was he there at the right time, or was it the right time for the Raiders because they had him? Think about this with John Madden. He gets set into broadcasting 1983, I think, is when he started broadcasting. His career somewhere around the early 80s, he gets started. And he's working around. He's doing some with Vince Scully, and he's doing some with other guys at CBS. And then all of a sudden, he lands in there with Pat Summerall. And it was because Tom Brookshire, who was Pat Summerall's color analyst, Tom Brookshire was on vacation. And all of a sudden, Madden and Summerall are born, and they spent 21 years together. You think that if John Madden wasn't very good, that Tom Brookshire would have gotten his job back with Pat Summerall? In the late 80s, early 90s, the NFL's always been one of the most expensive products for TV networks. And this is no different. The NFL is one of the most popular entities in the history of entertainment, especially in America, especially today. But at one point in time, the NFL, CBS was losing money. And they were discussing at the NFL what to do. Because CBS went back and said, hey, we're not going to pay this kind of money for the NFL if we're not getting a good return on our investment. In fact, they had done the exact same thing with baseball. They had paid an exorbitant amount of money in the late 80s, early 90s for baseball. And after a while, they were losing billions of dollars. They cut out of that deal. That's what led to the 94 strike. So football didn't know what to do. And they talked about it. And they said CBS was the gold standard of American television. And they said, do we give up our place on CBS? Can we afford to give up the eyeballs in the middle of the day on a Sunday on CBS? Jerry Jones, a new owner of the Dallas Cowboys, had met with Rupert Murdoch, who had started this upstart new television channel called Fox. And Fox was kind of going for maybe more common man programming. So Married with Children, The Simpsons, NASCAR, and they really wanted the NFL. So they're trying to decide, do we take a lot of money from this upstart network Fox that nobody's ever heard of, or do we take a lot less money to stay on CBS? The NFL took the money from Fox. We know that. But Fox was worried, hey, this is a big pillar of what we're trying to build, and we better not lose it. If you screw it up, they will take the NFL from you. And they knew it. What did Fox do? They went out and paid $32 million for John Madden. They paid John Madden more money than the Chicago Bulls paid Michael Jordan. And it worked. That's exactly what they did. Think about what Fox is today. So in all these instances, was John Madden in the right place at the right time? Or did everything fall into place because it was built around John Madden? The Raiders were built around John Madden. Summerall and Madden's broadcasting career on CBS was built around John Madden. What about the video game? It wasn't like Madden Football was the first football video game ever created. It wasn't. In fact, when EA Sports was looking for someone to be the game, they initially went after Joe Montana. But Joe Montana already had a game on Atari. So they couldn't use Joe Montana. So then they went to John Madden. I believe Madden was the third choice. I never heard of the second choice. Madden was the third choice for the video game. And they went to Madden. And it's well documented. Madden said, we're not doing 7-on-7 football. We're doing 11-on-11. I need all 22 guys on the screen if we're going to do it. It's got to be done right. So do you think that this has become the most prosperous video game in North America? Because it was a good football game and EA Sports knew what they were doing and they marketed it correctly. Or do you think it's the number one selling video game because John Madden was on it? Because I don't hear anybody talking anymore about what there was one with Randy Moss on the cover. I forget what it was called. And there was the 2K series that launched. And I used to play NFL Blitz when I was a kid. But everybody played Madden. And now everybody plays Madden. And back then, everybody played Madden. So it wasn't like Madden was the first broadcaster. He just happened to be the best. It wasn't that Madden was the first coach. He just happened to be the best. And it wasn't that his video game was the first video game. He just happened to be the best. And I think this is the thing that I think we should take away from when it comes to John Madden's life, which is a lot of times you look at your circumstances and you think to yourself, man, this bad luck happened to me. If I had had this and this hadn't happened, this would have been, well, was it all good luck for John Madden? Doesn't seem like it was all good luck for John Madden. Caroline, your thoughts as I have just bloviated for 32 minutes on John Madden.
Well, I think that you hit on something that is so key about why he is such a legend, because it doesn't matter how old you are. There's every single generation at this point knows and appreciates and loves John Madden for different things. An older generation may know him as a coach, may know him as a broadcaster, you may know him for the video game. But in all of those, I think John Madden was so beloved by so many people because it felt like his number one priority was making the everyman feel like they were part of the game. Mm-hmm. When he was a broadcaster, he didn't use super technical words. He was fun and he was authentic and he was genuine. And it really made you feel like you were watching or listening to or talking to your friend or your dad or your grandpa. And then Madden the video game comes along and every single person had the opportunity to be an NFL player, to be an NFL coach, to really be a part of the game. And I think that Madden the video game was so key in getting young fans into football because you got to be a part of it. And I think that's why John Madden will be known and loved as a legend forever, because he didn't just do it in one thing. He wasn't just a legendary coach. He wasn't just a legendary broadcaster. He didn't just birth the most successful video game in North America, as you said. He did it all, and he was good at it all, and people loved him for it. And he really was just football's everyman.
Think about this. In the history of North American video games, there's backyard football. Mm-hmm. There's Joe Montana football. There's NFL 2K. There's NFL Blitz. There's NFL Fever. There's NFL Game Day. There's NFL Quarterback Club. There was NFL Street, which, by the way, was a terrible game. There was Tecmo Bowl. And then there was Madden.
See, I'm not super into video games, so I may not be the best representation to say this, but the only other video game that I've heard of is Tecmo Bowl.
See, and that's because that was like the first one that everybody's like, I remember playing Tecmo Bowl when I was back in the day. I mean, like, NFL Blitz was fun. Like, before I got into football, like when I knew that football was around, but I didn't care much, like back when they were still the Tennessee Oilers, I played Blitz because you could like tackle people like before they threw the ball and things like that. And it was fun, but it was like 7-on-7, 8-on-8, whatever. But like once I got into football, it was Madden. I mean, it was Madden. Your point, you got to coach, you got to play, you got to do it. I mean, like that was Madden was the game. And no disrespect to Joe Montana or any of these other guys that had football games, but I just don't think that they did it like Madden did. Just like other people that broadcast games don't broadcast them like Madden did. And I think there's a lot to take away from what John Madden meant to the NFL. It's easy to sit there and say, this is what John Madden meant to the NFL. He was a giant. He was this. But I think there's a lot of life lessons in the way that John Madden carried himself. You hear stories Bill Belichick talking about how disheveled, you know, and Andy Reid talking about how disheveled Madden would look on the sidelines. That stuff's not important. Like, it's really not. How you treat people, what you care about, the standards you hold, that's what's important in life, and that's what John Madden represented. Let's get your reaction. 615-737-1025. Here's the question. What did John Madden mean to you? We'll get to that coming up. 615-737-1025. Plus, some of the funnier moments of John Madden calling some Titans games, including a couple of people that we used to work with. So we'll get to those coming up as well. Stillman & Company and what Mike Vrabel had to say today about John Madden. We will get into the Titans and the Dolphins, and we will get into other stuff today. But to me, like in sports talk radio, it's very localized. So where I think it's important to talk about, you know, things locally here because they matter to you, they don't matter the same to people in Phoenix. There are very few exceptions to the rule. The Monday after the Super Bowl, every sports station in America is talking about the same thing. Today, I get it. There's a lot of football to get into. There's a Predators game tonight. There's college football. The playoff is coming up. But I'm not sure any of that is more important than the legacy of John Madden. 615-737-1025. We're live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's four locations. Help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit The Game Nashville. .com/shoes.
Personally, very, very, very saddened, disappointed. You know, Coach Madden was, I got to be a part of this small subcommittee just for a brief amount of time. And he would always send text messages of encouragement. And I found that to be really refreshing, helped me personally, you know, after losses or things that you second guess. I would also say that something that was extremely important to him was the care that the former players received. And that was a huge mission of his through that subcommittee, was finding ways to make the game better but safer, and also continue to take care of those former players because he loved his players, and that was evident in the way that they played for him. So, you know, hopefully we can carry on that legacy that he had of trying to take care of, those former players that he loved so dearly.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel today talking about John Madden and sending his condolences from the Titans organization. I mean, I read all of those yesterday. All the people that were talking about what a legend John Madden was, what John Madden meant to them. Things of that magnitude. I did promise your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris Sanders will join us in just a little bit. We'll get his thoughts on that as well. What do we have in our text line to kick us off?
One texter texts into the text line and says, I wasn't really into football by the time John Madden retired off air, but I still know his voice, and I love it dearly.
So I think there's going to be a lot of this where there's, for me, the thought of somebody that didn't watch John Madden call games is like, what? Like, I can't believe it. But you know what's funny is when somebody passes away who was a legend and then they retire and then there's 10, 15, 20 years and then they pass away, there's a lot of people that don't ever remember that guy. You know, I mean, I remember when John Ward passed away, the longtime legendary voice of the Vols. And I knew there were a lot of people that don't remember when John Ward called UT football. And it's crazy to think about. If you're 52 years old, it's crazy to think of the idea of somebody not knowing that John Ward called UT football. But if you're 25 years old, you probably never remember John Ward calling UT football. Madden was different. Like, Madden was different. That's why I thought it was crazy when they showed everybody that sat down, you know, to do the interview. Whenever you have a big documentary and you have big names in the documentary, you always show early on, like, clips of all those people sitting down. And it's like they did it in the All Madden documentary where you saw Lawrence Taylor, you saw Troy Aikman, you saw Brett Favre, you saw Joe Montana, you saw Tom Brady, you saw Bill Belichick, you saw Joe Buck, you saw Al Michaels, you saw Roger Goodell, like all these people, you see Lamar Jackson. And like, what's Lamar Jackson going to do talking about John Madden? And he talked about finally being able to be the cover athlete for Madden football.
Which is one of the biggest honors in the NFL now.
Which is insane. You know, I mean, it's wild. And so that is something that really makes John Madden transcendent. Like, if you didn't watch Michael Jordan play, you know who Michael Jordan is. Tom Brady will be the same way. Aaron Rodgers won't be. If you didn't watch Aaron Rodgers play 25 years from now, and you're a 18-year-old football fan, if you didn't watch Aaron Rodgers play, you won't know how special Aaron Rodgers was. You'll know the name. You'll know that he was good. You won't know, like you'll know with Brady, Michael, Babe Ruth. You won't know. You will with Madden. And I think that's pretty incredible. What else we got?
Another texter texts in and says, so many people on social media talk about broadcasters that they don't like, but nobody didn't like John Madden.
That's pretty incredible, right? Like, I heard what Al Michaels had to say today about the fact that how in society can 99.5% of people love one guy? And I'm like, that's pretty incredible.
Takes a pretty special person.
I think the other thing, too, is that the people that worked with John Madden, whether it was Richie Zionitz, the CBS Fox producer, those people, the way they talked about John Madden, you know, there's a lot there. I listened to his eulogy a couple years ago. He gave a eulogy when Pat Summerall passed away. And he talked about how on Thanksgiving, they would have a Thanksgiving dinner for all the Fox crew. Because, you know, all these people are working away from their families and things like that. And, like, that's the kind of guy Madden was, Madden and Summerall. That's what they were. Chris Sanders will join us next. He played when John Madden called games. What did he think of John Madden? Plus, we'll get his thoughts on the Dolphins game coming up as well. We will get back to some of your phones on Madden later today. 615-737-1025. Focus. It's naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. It is fantastic. P-H-O-C-U-S. You see, I got my Focus right here in front of me. This one is mixed berry. They got all these different flavors. Go to Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com, where you can see all of those flavors. Plus, you can have your first order 15% off sent right to your door with promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, at checkout. Focus is also now carried at Publix. So if you go to your local Publix, say, hey, you know what? I want to ditch the artificial sugars, the real sugars, the calories, the crash. I want natural tea caffeine. Get Focus. So you can go to Publix. Again, it's Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. My energy drink of choice to get me going, it's Focus, drinkfocus.com. Stillman and Company, as we all mourn the passing of John Madden today. The Titans do have a big one on Sunday against Miami. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders joins us on the program. So, Chris, you played back in the era of John Madden. Not sure how many Oilers games John Madden did when you played. He did one preseason game and one regular season game as a Titan when you were there. Right. Obviously, you were in the other conference. But what were your thoughts last night when you heard the news of the passing of John Madden?
Man, it was a sad day, but I learned a lot from him. And I'm not just saying this because he passed away, but I put a quote on one of my mirrors that really helped me in my life. It says this. It says, self-praise is for losers. Be a winner. So it's not just, you know, I just wanted to be on this game, but he taught me some lessons that, man, if you don't praise yourself, then you can always be a winner. So I really admire him for saying those quotes. And, you know, I would get up on Sunday before I played in the NFL, and I just loved his commentating, and I love his coaching. He's just one of those guys that's going to be truly, truly missed.
Chris, what do you make of the Titans this week against the Dolphins? I watched the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. I'm not overly impressed. I do think they're a game that if the Titans don't show up, they could get their rear end spanked. But I do feel like the Titans, even with the injuries and everything else, are a better team than Miami. I think Miami's a very, very average team coming in here. What do you make of Sunday's game?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because both teams are kind of similar. I mean, if you look at the Tennessee Titans and the Dolphins, they both have aggressive defenses with, you know, Shane Vaughn. They pressure the quarterback. They bottle up the run game. But the thing that's going to determine the winner of the game is which quarterback plays the best. I mean, you got Tannehill that has 14 interceptions. You have Tua that has 9 interceptions. So the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is the team that's going to win. So the weather's going to be bad, and it's going to be raining a little bit. So if the Tennessee Titans can protect the football, I agree with you 100%, Jared. Tennessee Titans are the better team. But if they go out there and start fumbling and doing things on special teams and throwing interceptions, this team will beat you.
So we had a really weird take come out of our morning show that I'm not sure, even though they've tried to explain it to me, I'm not sure I really understand, which is this belief that there's no extra motivation for Ryan Tannehill playing the Dolphins, a team that gave up on him. And their theory is that extra motivation wouldn't help the quarterback anyways because of what's required of the quarterback. You've played the sport. What do you think about Tannehill's motivation for Sunday against Miami?
Listen, everybody's human. Everybody wants to prove themselves to, you know, especially if I get let go, a team lets me go or doesn't have faith in me or that city boos me out of the stadium. I want to go and prove myself. You better believe in the back of Tannehill's mind, he wants to prove that the Miami Dolphins, that you made a mistake. You know, when he was in Miami, everybody talked about that he wasn't durable, that he couldn't finish the game, he didn't have arm strength, all that crazy stuff. So you better believe. He may not say it out front. He may not say it to the media. But I guarantee you, in the back of his mind, he doesn't want to put 30 on the Miami Dolphins. He wants to put about 60 on the Miami Dolphins to show that I was capable of making plays for that team, guaranteed.
How does that help somebody play better?
I'm going to give you a perfect example. It's kind of like this. You know, before I got in the NFL, or when I did get in the NFL, they said, oh, he can be an okay receiver, he might make the team, and all this crazy stuff. It gave me the motivation to say, you know what? I'm going to prove to you that I'm the best receiver in this league. So what I did is it put a chip on my shoulder. So when I got in the NFL, I got in there, you know, I was kind of raw a little bit, but I still led the league in yards per catch, and I had 9 touchdowns, and I made the all rookie team. So when I had that attitude, I had that chip on my shoulder to say, you know what, even though you say I can't make it, even though you said all these things I couldn't do, let me prove it to you. Same thing with Tannehill. Tannehill's going to use that with motivation, say, you know what, in spite of what you said, I'm going to go out there and prove to you that I am a great quarterback. And I guarantee he's going to use that as motivation.
Titans have some serious COVID issues at wide receiver. Now, they may be able to get some of these guys back.
Yeah,
Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Julio Jones, Cody Hollister, all been placed in the COVID list. A.J. Brown, knock on wood, so far has not. We saw what his impact was on Thursday night.
Ooh.
Chris, how much of a difference – how much different are the Titans now that AJ is back and looks like AJ?
Man, totally different. He just makes everybody better. And then one person that he made better was Tannehill. Look at the first couple of passes that he threw to A.J. Brown when A.J. was in the right spot, when he ran that out route, and when he caught that deep one, you know, at the highest point. Look at Tannehill's body language. His body language was totally different from the past, you know, 3 or 4 games because his confidence was built because he made that one pass that in the end zone to really build his confidence. So, you know, with A.J. Brown being out there, it just has that security blanket to say, you know what, wherever I throw the ball, I can trust that A.J. Brown is going to be there. And the good thing about A.J. Brown, everybody knows that he caught 11 passes for 145 in the touchdown. But here's the kicker, and everybody's been talking about this. Eight of those passes were caught on third down. So what does that tell you? That's money down. And if it's money down, I'm going to my money player.
But you got to believe, though, going forward, Chris Sanders, our guest, that
yes.
Other teams, I mean, they're not going to let the Titans just throw the ball to AJ. I mean,
absolutely.
I was a little surprised with how San Francisco defended him. Were you?
Their secondary was terrible. Their secondary, no disrespect. You know, I hate Sanders, but that was a bad, bad secondary. They had 3 or 4 of their starters out. They had a rookie starting at left corner. So, yeah, you're supposed to do that. A.J. Brown's a big-time receiver. He's big. He's physical. He's great after the yards per catch. You're supposed to do that. When we played, when I was with the Tennessee Titans in 1999, when we played against the Cincinnati Bengals, their secondary was awful. So we're supposed to beat them on D-backs. We're supposed to catch the curls because we're better than you. That's exactly what we saw with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown displayed to their secondary that I understand that you guys are hurt. I understand that there's some new guys. I understand that you're a rookie, but guess what? I'm better than you, and that's exactly what we saw against the 49ers.
Hats and T-shirts on the line with a victory on Sunday. How big of a deal is that to the Titans going in there knowing that they can clinch? And with a win on Sunday, they're probably going to end up as the 2 seed in the AFC.
You know, I think Mike Vrabel is doing a great job. I'm really not talking about it, and he always talks about we just got to go up there and do our job. But everybody knows what's at stake and align with the AFC South. If they just go out there and do their job and play their type of football and not play with pressure, because if you start thinking about, oh, if we lose this game, or if this is going to happen, then it builds pressure. It builds anxiety, and you don't want to play like that. You just want to go out there and say, okay, this is just another game. I know that sounds kind of cliche and coach talk, but at the end of the day, if you start playing with pressure, then that's when the mistakes happen. We saw that against Pittsburgh. We saw that against the Jets because they were playing with pressure and said, okay, this team is terrible, whatever, whatever. But if they just go out there and play their game, don't make mistakes. Don't put the ball in Tannehill's hands. Let the defense swarm Tua. I think the Tennessee Titans can definitely be successful.
Chris Sanders, as always, he'll be with us on the pregame show Sunday starting at 9:30. Chris, appreciate it. Appreciate you. Happy New Year.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, bro.
Yep, Chris Sanders joining us on the program, Titans and Dolphins. TD in the on-deck circle with the TD Power Hour. But have you heard this? I mean, we got to discuss this when Joe comes on for Jerry vs. Joe, which apparently
changed
his
flight.
Oh, I have
it. It's written down.
But, like, these guys in the morning, they just don't believe that motivation matters at the quarterback position.
Just because Tannehill has a little extra pep in this step for this game doesn't mean that he discredits or prepares any less for any other game. It's not saying that. It's just saying that any human being, it's just a natural thing that if somebody doubted you and you are now going against them, you got a little fire underneath you. It's so just natural.
Here's what I think motivation equals. Mental focus. Life is all about priorities. You cannot mentally focus on two things at once. Multitasking is not a real thing. You literally are either doing something or you're not doing it. Now, you can do one thing and then switch to another thing and then switch to another thing, and you can call that multitasking, but that's not really a thing. If your mind, the way the human brain works, is you're focused on one thing while you're doing that one thing, which leads me to mental focus. Life's all about priorities. Go back to John Madden. You could tell what was a priority to him. Calling the game. That was a priority to John Madden. You notice John Madden didn't go on TV and call games and talk about, my video game is so great, go buy it. No, he didn't do that. His focus was on the game. And so with all things in life, think about your own job. There are some days that you focus more. And that's what this does. That's why Michael Jordan used all these wild slights. George Karl didn't come over and say hi to me at dinner, because it allowed him to mentally lock in on what he was supposed to do. And I don't get how quarterback is any different than any other sport in any other position. So those guys, I just think they're crazy. TD will join us next for the TD Power Hour. His thoughts on the Dolphins and on John Madden as well. We'll get to TD coming up next. Hey, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Next chance to participate tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. TD is next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.